The ESPN Football Today podcast is brought to you by New Dove Men Plus Care, a range of body and face washes for comfortable skin, for skin as comfortable as you are.
This is ESPN. From Scoutsy, here's Jeremy Green.
Hello, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of ESPN Football Today, presented by Dove. I am your host, Jeremy Green. Pod and I wish we were in Miami right now. We both walked. I walked in and said, Pod, it's not getting any warmer out there. And he said, you thought it would? And to make matters worse, it's just freezing in the studio this morning. Burr!
I don't know what's going on. I called facilities finally. Because you all complained about the air temperature in there.
Woo! It's freezing in here. And you'd figure after, you know, I mean, were Matt and Nate here today?
No, not today.
Oh, okay.
They'll be here Thursday.
So there wasn't any hot air being blown around through the studio. I thought some hot air being blown through the studio would warm it up a little bit. Maybe that gives it a little bit more reason.
You're the first podcast all week.
Oh, okay. Then no wonder. No wonder. I got to fill this thing up with some hot air for the next guy. Today, great show in store for you today. We had a great one yesterday. I want to say thanks again to DeRickshaw Ferguson for stopping by the Brick. He's a friend. Once you become on twice, you become what I like to call a friend of the program pod.
Yep.
He's a friend of the podcast, a friend of the program. Chris Collinsworth will become a friend of the program again today. He'll be joining us a little bit later on. First, we've got to get to, what do we got today? We got Quick Slants, we got Tail the Tape, we got Chris Collinsworth, we got Audibles. It's a big show all week long. Let's get to our show with Quick Slants.
Quick Slants.
Jets quarterback Mark Sanchez decides to have surgery. After soliciting second and third opinions, Sanchez, as expected, will have surgery in 2 to 3 weeks to strengthen a patella-stabilizing ligament in his left knee. Sanchez's recovery time will be about 2 months, and he is expected to be ready for training camp in late July. Sanchez dislocated his left knee in August of 2008, prior to his final season at USC. It was braced for his entire rookie season, but he aggravated the injury November 29th against the Panthers.
I think it makes sense to have surgery in this situation because it's a ligament that's not 100% healthy. So what you're doing right now is it's not like he has any torn ligaments, but you're going to go in and you're going to strengthen the ligament. Makes sense to me. I mean, it really does. I mean, why play on a ligament that's less than 100%? If you've got an opportunity right now, it's the off season. He can still be in the film room. He can still be studying. He can be getting better mentally. He can be learning their offense. Even though he can't do some things maybe in terms of throwing the football, hey, right now it's all about getting healthy for 2010 if you're Mark Sanchez. If you have an opportunity to strengthen a ligament that could be an issue in 2010, I say take that opportunity, especially if it's going to force him not to really miss any on-the-field time.
Quick Slants.
The Texans are working on a multi-year contract extension for coach
Don't
Gary
get excited.
Kubiak. Deal could be completed as early as next week. Kubiak has 1 year left on the 5-year, $10 million contract he signed in 2006. His new deal is expected to go through the 2013 season, perhaps longer, according to Texans owner Bob McNair.
Again, we'll see what happens with this. You don't want him coaching lame duck, but are we really going to stick 3 years on Gary Kubiak's deal right now when you're unsure?
That's so wrong with coaching lame duck? I don't understand.
Well, I think coaching lame duck means that, you know, the players can see that you lose some authority. You lose some voice.
But when are you going to lose it? I don't think you would lose it right at the beginning of the season. If you start off hot during a season, you think you're going to lose that authority at the end of the season? Only problem would be is if you start off slow.
It's just, there's something about coaches coaching lame duck. I don't know. It just doesn't feel right. Leaves a bad taste in your mouth. As a players, I know, at being in locker rooms, I know players with coaches with 1 year, they look at it and say, hey, this is a 1 year deal. We're done after this. We're all going to be gone. There could be new coaches. Could be new changes coming.
Well, that's glass half empty kind of thought.
It really is, but I don't think you go in and send Gary Kubiak to 2013 either. So, do you want to slap a year on the back of this existing contract? I'm okay with that. I'm really not okay with extending Gary Kubiak to 2013. And I'm pretty sure if you talk to some Texans guys, Mad Mike, super fan of, we haven't heard from him in a while, footballday@espnradio.com. I don't know if you're okay with Gary Kubiak not coaching lame duck. I'm not okay with him coaching lame duck. I think he should get a year left on a year added to his deal. But goodness gracious, let's not extend the guy to 2013 until we get a playoff bid.
Playoffs?
Playoffs?
Yeah.
Quick Slants.
NFLPA wins decision from Special Master Stephen Burbank to prevent the league owners from dismantling the supplemental revenue sharing pool in 2010. Burbank rejected an interpretation from the NFL Management Council that an owner's resolution in March 2006 determined the supplemental revenue sharing pool was only required during years in which the NFL was operating under a salary cap. So they will be sharing revenues in 2010.
Okay. Yeah, so they're going to share revenues in 2010, which means that if you're the small market team, you're happy. The large market team's not happy with that. At least we're going to share revenues for 2010 under the existing agreement.
Correct.
Quick slants.
Dolphins linebacker Joey Porter says team should trade him. I'm going to let him speak in his own words.
Who's buying?
I'm going to let him speak in his own words. He was on Rome is Burning.
Not happy. You know, I thought the situation could easily be fixed, but it's a situation to where they want to play younger guys. You know, they want me to be a rotation guy. And, I got a lot of football left in me to be a rotation guy. You know what I mean? I don't get paid like a rotation guy. So, I'm not ready to take that role. I'm not ready to be a role player. I'm still a starter. I can play at a high level and I feel like I can start for any team in the NFL. So, with me feeling like that, nah, I'm not happy. I mean, they can pay me. They can pay me. I mean, keep me on the team, but I won't be happy.
It sounds like you're going to try and force a trade.
I mean, it just kind of would be the smart thing to do. Why keep a guy there that you want to make a role player? You're paying me enough money as a starter. So why pay me all that money and make me a role player? If you're making me a role player, it's kind of saying that you really don't want me, right?
Well, he won't be in Miami. He won't be in Miami.
Like, we can all guarantee that.
Trade him to who? Who's buying?
I don't know.
Who's buying? Who's buying Joey Porter at this point of his career at those numbers?
I mean, if you want to keep me on the bench and pay me, then just keep me on the bench and pay me. I mean, yeah, if you want to pay me like a role player, pay me like a starter and play me like a role player.
Okay, good. No, I'm pretty sure they're going to cut you because you make too much money because they can't trade you. If they could, they would. There's nobody buying. I'd like to be traded too. Nobody's buying, man. You need a buyer to be traded.
Oh,
nobody's buying in this job market. Sorry. And there's a world pod.
But who wants a guy that's like, I'm not going to role player? Nobody wants a guy that's going to say that.
You want him? You got a uni wait for him?
Not when he says, I'm not a role player. Because that's all anybody is on the Patriots. They're all role players. They know their role. And they play them well.
I mean, I can't believe he's that upset. I mean, he can be a role player and make starter money. A lot of guys would be happy with that. At least I'm glad that he's not happy. At least I'm glad that he's happy that he's not happy about his role for the money that he makes. So he'd like to play more and earn his money. But I mean, nobody's buying Joey Porter at this point in his career. Trust me, Joey Porter's trade value is nil.
Right. By the way, story I did not include here, but also a player who suggested that he should get paid more, Chris Johnson. Mm. He says, I'm not saying I'm going to hold out or anything. But
which Chris Johnson are we talking about?
We're talking about the running back for the Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
He wants to be the highest paid offensive player in the game. Well, he's only 2 years into his rookie contract.
Well, he's going to get a new deal. I mean, he's not getting out of Tennessee, I can tell you that.
No.
Eventually, he's going to get a new deal that's going to pay him as the highest paid running back in the National Football League. That, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep.
There you have it.
Quick slants.
From ESPNBoston.com, Patriots wide receiver Randy Moss had a separated shoulder at the end of the season.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Nobody knew that.
Okay, well, then maybe that's why we should get off his back about him not giving 100%.
Well, you know.
Maybe
now, y'all had all 2 weeks to do y'all's talking. Let me do mine.
Maybe he wasn't 100%. He didn't play like he was 100% down the stretch. So, doesn't surprise me that he might have been a little bit nicked up. Didn't seem to be himself. You know, I don't know. Where do the Patriots and Randy Moss go from here, Pod?
I don't think the Patriots aren't happy with Randy Moss.
Okay.
And I think he has at least 1 year left.
Right,
no,
he's not a free agent, so. I mean, we're just gonna be okay this year.
They don't have a choice. Okay. They let Randy Moss walk away. Who they gonna throw the ball to?
Wes Welker.
Wes Welker is gonna be done. Isn't gonna play for about half the season.
Oh, okay. Maybe we should extend Randy Moss.
Perhaps
he might be on the last year of his deal too. Gary Kubiak.
Quick slants.
Last one's a punt. We joked on Friday that the Pro Bowlers would meet the rest of their team at the airport, holding the sign for the bus. Well, the Saints Pro Bowlers greeted their teammates at the hotel dressed as
Bellhops. No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
Do we have video of this?
There's pictures online.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. I love it. That is great. Let me get your bag, sir.
The question I have, though, is did they actually take their teammates' bags?
No,
That's the best part.
No, the rookies carried them as the rookies should. Believe me. The rookies carried them all year long. The rookies will continue to carry them until the end of the season, until a new crop of rookies come in to carry bags. Don't be the party host that forgets to have Super Bowl square board. Mike, whoa, we're doing square boards?
Yeah. Square boards on Mike and Mike.
All right, Mike and Mike, make it easy for you with their Sunday Squares app that builds a board for you. All you have to do is provide the guest, log on to ESPNradio.com, and click on the Mike and Mike page to fill out your squares today.
There you have it.
The Saints. The Colts.
All right, we're going to talk a little bit of wide receivers. We talked quarterbacks yesterday. Today we're going to talk wide receivers. This matchup, Marcus Colston versus Reggie Wayne. And as close as I thought the matchup was yesterday at the quarterback position, I think it's pretty close at the wide receiver position as well. I'll give my edge at the end of this, at the end of me talking about this. But, you know, Reggie Wayne's been kind of held under wraps. I really look for a bust out game from Reggie Wayne in the postseason or in the Super Bowl. I don't think the Saints really have the cornerback combination to deal with Reggie Wayne. It's not like they have a number one guy. They're going to blitz a lot. Reggie Wayne likes to run a lot of those inside routes, quick three step slant, catch the ball and go, pump and go. All those things will be there for Reggie Wayne, I think, in this football game. I think he has a big game. What I love about Reggie Wayne is the route running. I think he's one of the better route runners in the National Football League. Great hands, catches the ball in traffic. Not a speed guy. I mean, neither one of these guys are great speed guys. I wouldn't call either one of these receivers burners, so to speak. I think Reggie Wayne has better speed than Marcus Colston. I think he has the ability to get deep quicker than Marcus Colston. I think if there's going to be a big play made down the field, I think it's going to come from Reggie Wayne over Marcus Colston in this football game. I look at Colston, I look at the hands, I think they're unbelievable. The ability to run down the seam. I think the seam's going to be very important. The Colts play a lot of cover two defense. Being able to stretch the seam is important. Marcus Colston catches a lot of balls inside the numbers. He's got great hands, he's got great body control. He can post up because of his size. I think he can post up on smaller Colts defenders. I think the difference is going to be, though, that Marcus Colston's going to make some catches, and he's going to get hit, and he's going to go down. Reggie Wayne's going to have an opportunity to make some plays after the catch. Some yak yards, those YAC, the yak, 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 is going to be in Reggie Wayne's favor, I think, in this football game. He makes yards after contact. He makes yards after the catch. Marcus Colston's going to get his yards, but I don't think they're going to be necessarily vertical yards or yards after the catch. Of the two receivers, who needs a bigger game? I mean, I think Reggie Wayne needs to have the bigger game. I think the Saints supporting cast is better when you look at Robert Meacham. I don't know. You include Dallas Clark, and I know, Jay, you talked about it with Jeremy Shockey. It doesn't excite you that much. Which receiver do you think has to have a bigger game? Let me talk to you.
I'm sort of on board with you. I don't think it's necessary for either of these receivers to have the bigger game because I think Austin Colley and Pierre Garçon can step up for the Colts. They did it last week or 2 weeks ago. And I think, you know, Devery Henderson and Robert Meacham have shown all season that they can step up for the Saints. So I think both quarterbacks have a bevy of talent to throw the ball to.
Well, there's no question about
wide receiver.
But somebody's got to separate themselves in a big game. And
I'm with you. Reggie Wayne has been kept under wraps this entire playoff run here. I think, you know, this is an opportunity for him to step up and shine.
And it really is. It really is because I think when you look at the matchups with him against the Saints secondary, I just think this is one of those games where we could see Reggie Wayne for 10 for 150. I really do. I think Marcus Colston, we could see 6 for 75. I think when you look at Reggie Wayne, though, I think we could see 10 for about $1.50. And I think that really gives him the advantage. I think the Saints you look at both wide receiver groups, and if you had to give a check, man, it'd be a toss up, but I would actually give the check, I think, to the Colts. Barely. Because I think Austin Colley and Pierre Garçon just a little bit more consistent, and I think Reggie Wayne with a chance to go for 10 for $1.50. Two great wide receivers. Give me the edge, though. It's gotta go with the Indianapolis Colts in this situation.
Spending the topics with a wide open field. Go deep.
I would now like to welcome in Chris Collinsworth, NBC analyst and former Bengals wide receiver. Chris, how are you?
I've been fantastic. How are you guys?
Fantastic. Is this NBA or is it the NFL?
Yeah, I hope it's the NFL because I'm a little light on the other one.
So what's going on, man? Give me the vibe in Miami right now.
Sun shining after Noah and the Ark came by yesterday. And I think this is going to be a fun week. I really do. I'm excited about this Super Bowl. I think that the fans in general have been way underestimating the New Orleans Saints. I think this is going to be one of those classic shootout, big points, a lot of fun. I can't wait for this one.
Chris, you're down there working for doing some stuff for Sprint. What are you working on this week?
You know, it's really pretty easy. It's just they asked me if I'd come on and tell you a little bit about the phone, but I use this thing all the time. I don't know if you've got a Sprint phone or not, but you get all the NFL Network coverage, NFL.com, the Pro Football Talk, and it's only on these Sprint phones. And instead of having to be back in the hotel room to watch the NFL Network, I just carry it around with me. So pretty cool.
For more information, go to Sprint.com/NFL. Chris, you've played in the Super Bowl. How has it changed since then? You played in Miami as well.
Yeah, I played in two. I played in the first one in Pontiac, Michigan.
Yep.
And I can remember everybody telling me how great the Super Bowl was and how much fun you were going to have during the course of the week. And in that game, because it was like 0 degrees and about 15 inches of snow outside, the biggest entertainment we had was getting the rent-a-cars that they gave us, and we just kept spinning donuts in the parking lot. That was how we sort of passed the time. And meanwhile, the 49ers were off going to Diana Ross concerts and having a big time. So our second one, though, was here. It
yep.
was in Miami, and it was the week that Stanley Wilson had the
Uh-oh.
Overdose, and we had the riots in Miami, and so I've met everyone that I've gone to has had a little different storyline, but the result ended up the same. Joe Montana beat me up.
Are you heading to media day after this?
No way.
Why?
Because I have a Sprint phone and I can watch it from afar. There is no possibility that I
tell the fans what Media Day is all about.
It is mass chaos. If you've never been to one of these things, and I've been to it as a player, I've been to it as a member of the media. The players are going to tell you only what they want you to hear, unless you get on some bizarre subject.
Neither one of these teams are talkers either, so I have a feeling it's a boring, boring media day.
I'll tell you why that won't be true.
No.
Because you end up with the stories are never Peyton Manning and Drew Brees and Reggie Bush, and those guys are professionals at saying nothing. I always say when I'm getting ready for a game, and they talk about who do you want to talk to at the production meeting, I always say, give me the left guard. Give me the backup right tackle. Those guys will tell you the truth. You know, they will. They'll tell you everything that's going on with the team because nobody ever interviews them. And so now you end up with 45 guys on each team, five of which are the ones that always get interviewed, and the other 40 can't wait to tell their life story. I mean, it's one of those kind of days that you always get something bizarre out of it. And I love you. I mean, it's really fun to watch. It really is.
Will we get any smack talk out of it?
I doubt it, you know, because I think people are so afraid of putting up any bulletin board material. But, you know, every once in a while, one of the guys that you least expect ends up wanting to make a name for themselves. And there's no better way to do that because you know what the media coverage is like down here. It's like just
yep.
whatever we can get and whoever gives it to us, they are in the headlines.
Give me your thoughts on this football game. I mean, we're doing a thing today on receivers at ESPN between Marcus Colson and Reggie Wayne, and I gave the nod to Reggie Wayne, although I think both of them are going to play key roles in this game.
Yeah, it's a kind of different roles, I would say. The more tape I've watched on Marcus Colston, his primary route is sort of a deep in crossing route.
Right.
He's a big guy. He's 6'4", probably weighs 210, 220, something like that. And is usually the second look for Drew Brees. He's usually the guy. He's going to take a look at the outside for Henderson or Meacham or one of his speed guys out there. And then when it's not there, he's coming right back over the ball. And he's not afraid to throw it up high, and he's not afraid to give his guy a chance to make it a play. And that's where Colston is. He's a big, strong, physical guy that makes plays. Reggie Wayne, on the other hand, is the primary guy. And I think a little bit because of the fact that, you know, against the Jets and, you know, the other two guys ended up being more of the storyline, that you might see Reggie Wayne end up being the real primary focus for Peyton in this game. It's one of the greatest things that happened to Peyton in that championship game was the fact that Austin Colley and Pierre Garçon established themselves as not only threats, but big play, deep threats. So now you really can't afford to try and take away and double up on Reggie Wayne, and so now he's going to get some of that single coverage. So I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up being a big story.
You know, a big story for me is that I believe that the Colts have better depth at the wide receiver position, and you don't usually say that about a team that has two rookies as their backups.
You know, it's an interesting question, and I would say these two receiving cores are pretty comparable at this point. I don't know there's a huge difference between the two. I think Wayne is still the best of the players that are out there, but Meacham's emergence in the second half of the season has really sort of set them apart. Garçon, without question, has become the deep guy. You know, he is the guy that the minute they come up and try and blitz, that he is the guy that they're going to. We saw it in the championship game. Lito Shepard was on the field for one play and boom, right to him. You know, they were going right after him in the secondary. So, Garçon is definitely the guy. If there's going to be a big play from the Colts, he's the most likely candidate.
All right. Last time you were on, you talked about the Madden game. My producer has a question about the Madden game.
Go for it.
Chris, you admittedly said the last time you were on that you were annoyed by yourself on the Madden game. And I just,
in almost everything I do, honestly, the Madden game.
But I just wanted to say I agree. Every time I have a bad play on that game, I find myself holding myself back from throwing the controller at the TV as soon as you say something like, well, that was stupid. Look at this guy who was wide open. I was like, thanks, Chris.
I don't know if I told you the story or not, but I was sitting at a high school football game one time. And I had this guy come up to me, kind of an older guy, and clearly he had a son on the other team, you know, by the school colors or whatever the case may be. And he came up and he goes, "You are killing me." And I go, "What?" He goes, "You are killing me." And I go, "Oh, I'm sorry. What, you know, what are you talking about?" He said, "Every time I make a mistake in that Madden game, you are killing me on this." I go, "Man, I am so sorry. I just read the." You know what happens to you though? You sit in the room and it's, you do it for 8 hours, like 10 different days, you know, to do this thing. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like, you know, oh, it's third and one, and it's a sweep to the right, and oh, that's a good play. It's third and one, sweep to the right. Oh, he got caught in the backfield. Third and one, sweep to the right. Oh, he ran out of bounds. Third and one, sweep to the right. You know, and after a while, you start to lose your mind. And so the ones that would make me laugh is, I mean, literally, I had to do, you know, things like Peyton Manning just threw his third interception in the half. I can't believe Peyton did it. Peyton Manning just threw his fourth interception, blah, blah, blah. And they take it all the way to Peyton Manning just threw his 15th interception of the first half. I go, somebody take him out and shoot him. You know, like you run out of stuff to say. Else. What are you going to do?
Oh, that's funny.
That's great. I know you had a lot of fun with Madden this year, though, didn't you, Chris?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's so cool to get to do it, one, because my kids love the game, so it's almost like even if my wife and I are out to dinner, we're still home parenting as if they're playing Madden because they're still hearing my voice echoing in their heads a little bit. But then to actually get a chance to replace John and to have him support me the way that he did on NBC was fantastic too. So if you're going to walk in somebody's footsteps, those are pretty big footsteps to follow right there.
All right, you can give us a prediction on the game.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, you
know why? Because I really haven't made up my mind yet.
Okay.
I think that so much of it comes down to if Freeney's going to play. If Freeney's healthy and is playing, I would pick the Colts. If Freeney is not healthy or is not better than 50%, I would take the Saints. That's really where I am.
And when you say that with Freeney, that's interesting. And we talked about this yesterday. We had so many people call and said, it's the Super Bowl. You have to play. You have to, and I'm like, well, if you can't play, you can't play. I mean, where are you at with that in terms of Super Bowl?
Well, you don't play if you're going to hurt your team. You know, and I think that, you know, especially with Freeney, so much of what he does is based on speed. And I was trying to think, it's a right ankle injury, and he loves that spin move. And how much of it, would he have been better off with the left? Would he have been better off with the right? And, you know, how much of it does it make a difference? And I can't figure it out. But I do know that if they don't have to double-team Freeney, this becomes a different game.
Right.
Now you shift it over. Now you're double-teaming Mathis. You know, you've got Raheem Brock one-on-one. And don't forget that Bushrod is probably the weak link at left tackle
right.
For the Saints. So now if some of the pressure is off of him and you don't have to, you know, spend a back and a tight end and everything they would have to do to help get Freeney blocked, it's just a different game. I mean, you know, he's the third best player on the field, so there's no way it's not going to make a huge difference.
Sprint's NFL mobile live app gives us fans round-the-clock NFL Network TV coverage of all things Super Bowl right on their phone. Chris Collinsworth uses it, and you should too. Chris, you're a friend of the program. You've been a two-timer here now. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Anytime, guys. You know that.
Welcome. Mailbox number, please.
Your emails with your questions.
Computer, any messages for me?
The Audibles.
First message.
Email sent to footballtoday@espnradio.com. And we begin with a friend of ours from the New Orleans area, Jim.
Oh, good.
He says, Carnival season begins on January 6th, always, and Mardi Gras Day is the day before Ash Wednesday, which is next week, by the way.
Okay.
It marks the end of Mardi Gras, or not next week, the week after. Contrary to popular belief, the celebration is religious in origin. Yes, I'm well aware of that, Jim. But I didn't know that carnival season started on January 6th. Interesting side note, several Mardi Gras crews canceled parades scheduled for Super Bowl Sunday because no one would go. There are rumors that the Colts feel preemptively snubbed or because New Orleans is going to throw a parade win or lose. The truth is, New Orleanians don't need much of an excuse to throw a parade.
True.
And this is only the biggest event for the city since the Battle of New Orleans. It ain't personal. It's just how we do.
It's just how we roll. There's no question about that. So, I mean, party, whatever. I mean, again, that's why it's party win, party lose. Teams in the Super Bowl. City's feeling good. City's revitalized a little bit. You know, since Katrina, I just mentioned it. Dang it. I wasn't going to say it. But the city, Mary told me yesterday to stop talking about that. And we said we would. But I mean, I think the city's feeling good about itself. The city's feeling revitalized. Win or lose, Saints throwing a party.
Tyler from New York, I was wondering if you knew any reason why a defensive coordinator would not make up two separate game plans for one game. Example, why wouldn't Williams implement a different game plan for the second half to confuse Peyton? Or does this already happen? It seems to me he studies defenses in the first half and then picks them apart in the second. Wouldn't it be beneficial to have two different attacks?
Not necessarily. What you do is you bring a game plan in that you think is going to work. And then you tack with it in the first half, and then at the second half you go in and you have the 15-minute halftime and you make adjustments. I mean, if what you're doing is good, you stick with the game plan, but you don't have a second half game plan already prepackaged because right. You don't really know what happened in the first half. You can't play, you play out the first half in your mind. You think what you're going to do in the first half is going to work. You hope you don't have to make a lot of adjustments at halftime. You hope that the game plan that you threw at the first half is going to be the one that you stick with. But you have to make second half adjustments. I mean, the defense coordinators that do a great job, or the best of the best, make great second half adjustments. Those are the guys that win Super Bowl titles. Those are the guys that are the elite amongst the elite.
Right. Steve Z. On Monday's podcast, you briefly discussed Bryant McKinnie being kicked off the Pro Bowl team this year. You mentioned that you had not heard of that happening before. As the Bucs co-superfan, I'm embarrassed to say,
yes.
At the 2004 Pro Bowl, Simeon Rice, then of the Bucs, was sent home from Hawaii. He was a bum, didn't deserve to go anyway.
Wow. Well, there was another guy said. I mean, that's embarrassing.
I'm sure there's other guys, too. We just
don't
remember.
Who remembers, though? Because it's so
right.
Embarrassing. It's something I want to forget. I don't want to remember a guy that got sent home from the Pro Bowl.
No.
You couldn't suck it up for an hour of walkthrough practice. Pod, I mean, you don't want to remember a guy getting sent home from the Pro Bowl.
No. No, you really don't. Mike in San Diego. It was pretty obvious on Monday that JG was less than enthused about T.O. being named to the All-Decade.
True. Get your popcorn ready, because it's going to be a show.
Can I really show it?
Yeah, you did. As a big-time Steelers homer, I'd like to suggest Hines Ward as a worthy replacement. Granted, his stats aren't as gouty. Ward, 10,063 yards, 71 touchdowns in the 2000s. T.O., 11,644 and 114 touchdowns. But Ward does have two Super Bowl wins and one Super Bowl MVP to his credit, plus the intangibles he brings to the table, the best blocking receiver ever, the leadership he brings to the Steelers, and of course...
I always keep my head on the swivel.
People, including myself, may not have been happy with the questioning of Big Ben's toughness earlier in the year, but he is nowhere near the quarterback killing cancer in the locker room distraction that T.O. represents. By the way, I believe getting kicked off three teams in a decade for being a bad person, that's an edit, should disqualify a player from
thank
the all-decade
you.
Eligibility.
I guess that's where he sees it. Mike sees it from where I saw it from, and that was a standpoint of even though the numbers are there and the production is there, you just three different teams in a decade. And where do you have a guy like a Hines Ward who's been on one team throughout that decade? I'd rather go with Hines Ward as my pick.
Hines Ward, by the way, was a popular replacement for the team.
Good.
And different guys, either
well, he played with the same,
either T.O. or Randy Moss was actually
played with the same team throughout the decade and gave 100% and played great throughout that decade.
Mike adds, by the way, P.S., Pod's man love for the Patriots can be downright annoying at times, but kudos for him getting Matt Light on the show. That guy may have a future in radio. That guy may have a future in TV. He could do radio.
He's awesome.
I mean, he might do radio.
He's pretty awesome.
He's probably going to do some TV. Adam Schefter commented on this, being the All 2000 team, saying that Brian Westbrook and Hines Ward are the two glaring omissions. Unfortunately, he didn't say who he would take off the list. I can see the Westbrook thing because I would be willing to pull Jamal Lewis to make room. I don't see who gets removed to make room for Ward, though. Who would either of you take off the list to make room for Ward? I wouldn't take anybody off the list for Ward.
I would.
Other than, I can see the T.O. argument. And I'm not going to argue against the T.O. argument.
I agree.
But I'm probably not going to do that. And by the way, Jamal Lewis, I read those stats from the 2000s. Jamal Lewis is like one of the leading rushers
of
the 2000s.
Absolutely.
Personally, I want to replace Brian Moorman with Mike Cyphers. I say Cyphers is wrongly overlooked because he's in Luckler's division, and he would be my second choice for a punter. Ed and Raleigh, did you really bring special teams into this? Really?
Next.
Kihai. Hello, JG. The Hawaiian Raider fan here to chime in on the All-2000
team. Kihai, I need to come hang out with you, man. Freezing in here.
Coming off a horrible Pro Bowl where all three NFC passing touchdowns were scored on none other than Chump Bailey.
Oh.
Then I almost punched my monitor while Pod Vader said that Chump was inducted to the all-decade team. Really? So here is Chump Bailey career stats, and I'm going to give you options on who to put in there besides him. By the way, I just want to remind you, this is from a Raider fan in Hawaii. Clearly why he's calling him Chump Bailey. Bailey, 550 tackles, 2 sacks, 107 passes defended, 46 interceptions, 4 defensive touchdowns, and 6 forced fumbles. Antoine Winfield, 645 tackles, 4 sacks, 71 passes defended, 21 interceptions, 2 defensive touchdowns, 11 forced fumbles. And the shocking fact that is not kept as a stat yet is thrown against. This year, mid-season, Namdi was number 1 in the NFL with 11 throws against him, and number 2 was Winfield with 23 or 24. You don't throw to Winfield just like you don't throw to Namdi or Revis. Well, Winfield was also hurt.
He was hurt for a lot of time. That was a good stat early in the year before he got hurt.
One final note about him, how gutsy are his parents to name their two kids Champ and Boss. Danelli Bailey should be lucky your name is not Diva or Princess. How say you, Casey?
I can't comment on that. That's just... Thank you, Kihai.
Come on. When you're a parent, you're proud of your kids. You don't know if they're going to become NFL players or whatever they're going to become in their life.
My two sons have my middle name, so...
My son has my middle name. Has my name for his middle name.
My last son, actually one of my sons, Jaden, has Jaden Dennis. Jaden Dennis Green. And I put a lot of pressure on him because Dennis Green's a big name, so... No more than mine, Jeremy Dennis. ESPN Football Today, presented by Dove. I want to say thanks, Pod Vader, for putting together another great show. He's delivering, man. Monday, Tuesday, yesterday it was Rickershaw Ferguson. Today it was Chris Collinsworth. Who is it tomorrow, Pod?
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Hell no!
Yeah?
What?
Yeah?
What?
I'm going to say this.
Oh, about that. Hell.
How many of these are we going to play for him? Are we going to play all four of them?
Give me another one.
Or are we just going to play...
Give me another one.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
What? He's here?
One thing I'll say about that is this.
What? Pod, Singletary's here.
Mike Singletary will be on the show tomorrow.
You're tripping. All right, Pod Vader says Mike Singletary's going to be here. I got to go home and get some rest. I can rest my voice. Be a lot of shouting and ranting and raving on this podcast tomorrow. Thanks, Pod Vader, for putting together the Quick Slants. Thanks for delivering Chris Collinsworth. Chris Collinsworth is now a friend of the program. I love having him on the show, Pod. He brings a lot to this podcast every time. Whether we're talking Madden, whether we're talking wide receivers, whether we're talking Sprint, he just delivers a lot of great information to this podcast. It's always great to have him on. Thanks to you guys, the fans as well. FootballToday@ESPNRadio.com. We're dipping into the mailbag every day, so send in those questions. We'll dip into it again tomorrow on a Thursday, or no.
Tomorrow's only Wednesday.
I'm sorry. on a hump day Wednesday podcast. Everyone have a great Tuesday night. We're out of here. See ya.
The music provided on today's show is from Mebio's Music Alley, Will Chryski's Metal Mayhem, and Next Time Around by Asymmetry. Check it out at music.mebio.com. Thank you for listening to ESPN Football Today. For more football talk, be sure to tune in Monday through Friday for Football Tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern and replayed at 11 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and online at ESPNRadio.com.